Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would be kind enough to hit the 6 button on your phone so we can mute all background noises. At the end, if we have time for a few questions, I will then ask you to push the 6 button again so we can hear you if you have a question. The format for the call is simply that I will interview Monica and then open the lines up for a few questions. So let's get started. For those of you who don't know me or who haven't heard my voice, I am Dotsie Bregel, founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found online at www.nabbw.com, and also boomerwomenspeak.com, which is boomerwomenspeak.com, which is the number one site on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering Boomer women to live life to the fullest. Since launching BoomerWomenSpeak.com several years ago, I've been connecting, encouraging, and supporting Boomer women on a daily basis. My finger is on the pulse of this spirited generation, and I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities that inspire women to explore their passions and live them to the fullest. So my prayer is to embrace all women and provide them with the means to soar. Okay, this evening, the topic of our call is re-entering the world of dating, and here to help us with this topic is Monica Morris. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, good evening.
It's good to hear your voice. Monica was born in London, England, and she migrated to California as a young wife with 3 small children. She was a professor for many years before leaving the university to write full-time. Widowed after a long and happy marriage, she found herself dating in a stunningly changed world. Her experiences and those of hundreds of other women and men whom she interviewed led to the book Falling in Love Again, The Mature Woman's Guide to Finding Romantic Fulfillment. She has since remarried and lives with her husband in L.A. Her most recent book is That Ridiculous Blue Sky, which is a novel. Okay, Monica, welcome again. You can find Monica online at monicabmorris.com. So that's monicabmorris.com. And Monica, how can women get in touch with you if they want to?
They can certainly go onto my website, and there is a button you can click to contact me. I think it says Contact Monica.
Okay.
It will lead you to an email address.
Okay, and they can just email you right through your website.
Absolutely.
Okay, Monica, I'm going to ask you to just speak up a little bit because this is being recorded.
I will do my best.
Okay, thank
you. I'll do my best.
Thank you. Okay, and I just want to say that one of our book reviewers, reviewed Monica's book, Falling in Love Again, and really kind of fell in love with the book and thought it was just a really very positive, very upbeat manual with lots of great information. And after getting that review response, that is when I thought, okay, you know what, this is a big topic for Boomer women, because a lot of women are single at midlife, and admittedly, many of them are happily single at midlife and not even interested in dating. However, there are others who are interested in falling in love again. So, you know, with that idea in mind, I contacted Monica, and she was kind enough to do this tonight. So about the next 40 or 45 minutes, I will be interviewing Monica, and our teleconferences, we basically do not spend a lot of time trying to sell products or programs or anything like that. We really just try to get into the nitty-gritty of the topic. So we're going to begin now with the fact that in Monica's book, she says that maturity is really your asset at this time in life when it comes to re-entering the dating scene. So, Monica, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you mean by that?
Yes, I'm adamant about the fact that maturity is an asset, mainly because our society keeps telling us that it isn't. The image images of desirable women in the media are daunting enough to make any of us want to hide behind the couch and wait for the urge to merge to go away, in our modern culture, there seems to be a conspiracy directed at making us feel unsure of ourselves. Ads show adolescent models selling every kind of product. Corporations force out their older employees first. It's enough to give anybody over 50 a complex. I refuse to buy into that negativity. Many decades ago, Sophie Tucker, I wonder if anybody remembers her, she sang Life Begins at 40. Well, I believe, and the research supports it, that life can begin at 50 or 60 or at any age we choose. We, as you know, Dotsie, we're pioneers. We're living longer and in better health than anyone in the history of the world, and we are making history. One researcher, Lydia Bronte, sees a second middle age added to our lives, and those extra years can be extraordinarily rich and creative. The fact is, we aren't competing with those nubile teenagers. I mean, the men we're interested in might take a peek at those long-lived legs. Who wouldn't? But they, just like us, are looking for a grown-up who has walked through the same watersheds and who shares something in common to talk about. As the baby boomers, the largest group of people ever to be born in the same time period, move through adulthood, being older is becoming sexy. Some of the film stars commonly thought of as heartthrobs are not in their 20s and 30s or even their 40s, and
right.
They remain box office attractions well into their 60s and 70s and beyond. Maturity is an asset. Believe it.
Okay.
Does that answer?
That absolutely does. And one of the things that I think is included in maturity being an asset is considering why we want to, or why, not me, I'm happily married to the love of my life for 28 years, but why someone is interested in dating. And I read that that's a good question to ask yourself before you even start, before you start dating. You know, why are you interested in dating, and what needs do you want fulfilled? And I think there are a couple good questions to ask oneself. You know, yes, you are more mature, and you're more capable, I think, of reading people and deciding whether you want to get involved with someone. But I think the bottom line is, okay, if I'm interested in dating, why? And, you know, what are the needs that I want to fulfill?
It's a good question that you raise, and there have been some fairly cynical answers to this.
Right.
There was a book a while ago that said, if you don't want sperm and you don't need money, what do you need a man for?
That's a book title?
It's not actually a book title.
Oh, okay.
I can find the title for you. I have it somewhere. But this was the question that she raised, and in a way it's the question that you're raising. Mm-hmm. She, in fact, spent the whole book telling you why you didn't need a man in your life.
Oh, okay.
Speaking for myself, as you know, I was married for a long time very, very happily. And after my husband died, I lived a very full life as a professor, and, you know, I had a family and so on. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to miss the company. I missed the conversation. I think most of all, I missed the conversation. The conversation at the end of the day. I just was used to living. I met my husband when I was 18. Mm. So I'd never lived on my own before I was widowed. And then I lived on my own for a few years and liked it. But I did feel the need to find a regular companion that I could share my life with and share life's pleasures with.
Right.
So I think that's why people are interested in meeting someone and marrying again.
Okay. And you brought up a good point that there are a lot of women who are single at midlife and are happy. But then, of course, that can change too.
I have a whole chapter on that in the book about that, and how many women are saying, I've been there and done that, and now it's my turn. The whole world is waiting for me, one woman said. And she had no wish whatsoever to tie herself down again in marriage. And a lot of the people that I interviewed along the way said, well, I like the company of men, but I'm not going to marry again. No way. So you're right. Not everybody wants to remarry, but lots and lots are looking for companionship.
Right. And there's a difference. A lot of women are choosing not to marry, but are just looking for that companionship.
Yes.
Okay. Another thing that you mention in your book is gaining the confidence to re-enter dating. And for many people, as yourself, it was a long time since you had actually dated. And for you, you were in your teens, and times
yes.
have really changed. So what information can you offer about gaining that confidence? And you know, I actually know some single women, and one woman in particular really was, you know, kind of afraid to do the online dating thing, and then one night went online and just kind of entered some information and then got some feedback and was kind of like really freaked out, like, oh my gosh, I've done this. So and it took a lot of nerve just to hit the enter button to put this information on the site. So if you could talk a little bit about that confidence building.
Oh, gladly, and I do have a whole lot of stuff concerning confidence. It was Anais Nin who said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage.
Ah.
You have to be brave. You have to be brave. And it's hard. When you've been with somebody a long time, you've forgotten about what it takes to go out into the world as a single person on your own and meet people. I mean, it's devastatingly difficult, and it certainly was for me. So there's a whole list of things that I suggest to acquire confidence. You have to have the confidence to be brave. And I have a whole list. I'll read you the list quickly, and then we can expand on any of those things. You have to have reasonable expectations. I mean, we think that everybody out there is just more gorgeous and more slim or more tall or more short or more beautiful than we are, and they aren't. Just look around you. And most people are pretty ordinary, as we are ourselves. You have to have reasonable expectations. The same applies to the people you meet. Most of them will be ordinary fellows, you know, nice, decent chaps for the most part. But just be have reasonable expectations about who you will meet. More important than anything is understanding yourself. Sometimes we've been so tied in a situation that we haven't thought about ourselves much, and we don't know who we are anymore. We've been wife and mother, perhaps, and working in a job, and we haven't really thought about who we are, and we need to know who we are before we can go out and find somebody else.
Absolutely, and if I could just interject that's something that we talk about in the forum community at Boomer Women Speak quite often. People come into the Singlehood Forum, and you know, they'll talk about dating or seeing someone and just seem a little confused. They're just finished with one relationship. They're starting another one. And a lot of times that's the advice that women give them. Wait a minute. Don't you think you need to understand yourself before you start, you know, entering into another relationship?
Yeah. That's one of the most important elements of knowing what you want is knowing yourself. You know, when I was teaching, I used to sometimes give an exercise to my students, and it's called 20 questions, and some listeners may know about this. It's perhaps more properly called 20 answers. Students are asked to give as many answers as possible, even 20 or more, to the question, who are you, or what are you? And to bring out as many answers as possible, and some people can think of only three or four answers. But if you really start thinking about it, you'll realize that you are so many things. You are so many people. And then you have to start working out how you are going to order those things that you are.
Mm.
Your strengths, your accomplishments, Many women downplay their achievements and their accomplishments. You know, if they've been successful, they say, oh, well, I was lucky, you know. Many women say they were lucky. Not that I worked bloody hard, as my mother would say, and achieved what I did. Oh, I was lucky. I was there at the right time in the right place. Many women do downplay their achievements. And some of us who were blessed with parents and grandparents who told us how wonderful we were, that anything we wanted to do, we could do, but not everybody was that fortunate. So go back in the classroom for another exercise and write down all the things that you do well. This is a time for being positive. And it doesn't matter how minor that is. Just write it down. I'm a good listener. I bake a good pie. I'm a good dancer. I can fix the plumbing. You know, all those kinds of things.
And right.
I suggest that people order those into priorities. Which is most important to you?
Excuse me. Can I interrupt 1 second? We're getting a little background noise. If you're on the call and you entered late, if you would be kind enough to push the number 6, that way you can continue doing what you're doing and still hear the call and we won't hear the background noise. Thanks, and I'm sorry about that, Monica. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. So really, it's a matter of knowing who you are, and that can take some time. Sometimes people, you know, start writing, and they write a whole piece about who they are, what they really, really want in life. And if they really, really want to meet somebody, why? That was a good question. And what do you hope from that? And what kind of a person are you looking for? So that you have to know yourself. That's another aspect of being confident, of knowing who you are. And you have to be emotionally ready to go out and date. If you're recently divorced or recently widowed, maybe too soon for you to be thinking about going back into dating. So you have to know if you're emotionally ready. I can go on.
Well, why don't you give us 2 more points, and then we'll jump into the next question.
I think it's important to know that what you want is normal. That is to say, it's quite normal to want love in your life. There's nothing weird or unusual about that. Most of us thrive on love and thrive in being in a happy relationship with a member of the opposite sex or somebody. So what you want is normal, and you have to assure yourself of that. But it's not weird to be going out dating, that it's perfectly allowable.
Okay. Anything else about that? Anything to gain confidence?
Yes, I think it's terribly important to get involved in the world. That is to say, to be doing something, to have something to talk about. I obviously don't have any problem having something to talk about. But be interested as well as being interesting, and that's terribly important when you're going out to meet new people.
Okay. Another thing that you mention in your book is getting in shape for the dating scene. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Oh, gladly. The thing about appearance is that we none of us think we're good enough, and we probably are. We just need a little buffing up here and there. When you've been in a long marriage or a long relationship, you tend not to do the kinds of things that you used to do before you were married or in that long relationship. You get comfortable. Yes, you keep yourself nice and clean, especially if you're working and you have to be neat every day. But what worked for you when you were 20 or even 30 may not work well for you now. You do need perhaps to have a makeover. I think that's a wonderful luxury to go into one of those stores and have a makeover and let them tell you what's up to date and what's modern and how you can enhance your best features. That's fun. And I talk about going to those photograph places, you know, I forgot what they call, where you go and you have your photos taken and they dress you up and they change your appearance and They try all kinds of different clothes on you and different hairstyles. In fact, the picture that you've printed in your newsletter of me was done by Glamour Shots.
Oh, okay.
By the way, that is my own dress.
Oh, okay.
And that was the most fun. You can't imagine what fun that is to go and have. They'll offer you a whole bunch of samples that they'll take. They'll take dozens and dozens of pictures of you. It's very, very enhancing to your confidence.
Yeah, and I'm sure it just. Yeah, I'm sure it just makes you feel good. And
okay.
And yes, and you.
Confident.
Right, and you have to feel good about yourself before you jump back in.
That's right. You know you're not going to be perfect. Who's perfect?
Right.
And none of the people you meet are going to be perfect. Let's be realistic about this. So, do the best you can. I have awfully bad news about weight. I mean, I really do. The matchmakers that I spoke with, and I spoke with many, many, told me that the most difficult kinds of people to place are people who are very much overweight. And that's that, you know, I'm the bearer of bad news here because a lot of us are hefty. I'm not talking about just being plump or zeftig. That's often highly desirable. But being very much overweight is a problem. Now, if you've always been overweight and you're happy with it and you're proud of it and you stand tall, fine. Don't mess with it. I mean, if you're confident that you're okay the way you are, fine.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I know, you know, several overweight women who their appearance just exudes confidence.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, I think it's more about confidence, as much about confidence as it is about appearance. So let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. For women who are listening and they're interested in, you know, where do I go to meet men? How do I, you know, jump into this online dating? Is it safe? Those types of things. You want to get into that a little bit?
Yes, gladly.
Okay.
The men are everywhere. As I said to you, there may just be one hiding behind that couch, also too nervous to venture out. But many men are just as shy and unsure of themselves as we are in unfamiliar situations. The men are everywhere. In the 1 year that I was writing this book, I met, one could say dated, more than 100 men. I just found them everywhere. It wasn't a problem. Now, I'm not 15 and I'm not 20. I'm getting on there. And I met these men and enjoyed them very much. Many of them were pleasant, decent fellows who were serious about finding a compatible woman for the long term. And for the book, I looked in far more places than most women would have the time or the energy to pursue. I inserted and followed personal advertisements in newspapers and magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I investigated matchmakers. I looked on online dating, and I joined numerous organizations with philosophies similar to mine. I even went dancing. I hadn't been dancing since I was 17, and I didn't like it much then, but I felt I must try all these things. And it was sort of fun, actually. I went to a dance, an afternoon dance, and almost all the men were 20 years older than I, and but they were marvelous dancers, and the music was great, and I had a good time, and I left before the end. my feeling is you don't have to do anything that you don't really, really want to do. But I was looking at it from the point of view of all the ways to meet people.
Okay, and can you give us some examples of those of different groups that you joined? Okay, you went dancing, but let's take a person who is not very athletic, so they're not going to sign up to do, you know, the biking and you know, rowing or those types of things. Let's say it's someone who you know, enjoys reading and movies and maybe going to a show or something.
If you live in a town, a fairly large city, you have so much available to you. Most of us haven't a clue about what goes on in our own town. first of all, there are all the religious and spiritual organizations, churches and temples. They will be only too happy to welcome you in and give you something to do. If you're into volunteering, you will meet people, you will have a lark. They also have courses and group discussions that you can enjoy, not necessarily religious, lots of secular stuff. And you could serve on boards. You will meet interesting people. Museums have wonderful programs, as well as the art that's on the walls. They have movie programs. They have film classics. They have jazz and classical concerts, lecture series, hands-on art classes, and access to research libraries. There's all kinds of stuff at the local large museum. Music and theater. If you're interested in music, you can go and volunteer, which I actually did, with the local, I volunteered with the local chamber orchestra because I happen to like that kind of music. And I still work with their Meet the Schools program, where we go into schools and take the music to the kids. Lovely. It's a pleasure and a joy. Large city orchestras rely on their volunteers to raise money, to encourage new subscribers, to greet people as they come into the concert, on and on. So this music, this theatre, if you're interested in theatre, just go and ask if you can volunteer. That you will be astonished at how many interesting and jolly things you can do with theatres. If you're interested in politics, I mean, I can go on and on. A mass of resources around you, if you will, now you know who you are, because you've filled in that list, follow your dream.
Sure. So basically, I think the best advice is, you know, obviously you're not going to meet anyone just sitting at home. So if you're interested in dating, you need to become active and proactive and intentional, I guess, about dating. Because I think, you know, there are some women who think somebody's going to come, Prince Charming's going to come knocking on their door one day.
No white horses come to the front door.
That's right.
You have to be out there. Look, if you're looking for the perfect job, you can't sit at home and hang about. Mm-hmm. You have to get out there. You have to do your research. You have to try things out.
Mm-hmm.
You're, after all, in this case, this is maybe even more important, you're looking for someone that you may want to spend the rest of your life with.
Right, good analogy. Very good analogy.
Someone who's interested in what you're interested in to some extent. He should certainly have interests of his own, so that you can also learn something new and find something new to do. But there are so many ways of meeting people. There are so many things you can do. I have a whole big chapter on what I call enriching your life while looking for love. And there are all kinds of ethnic organizations and clubs, and it's up to you to get out there. Now that you've got this courage and you're brave enough, you've got to get out there and mix a little.
Okay. Monica, what can you address online dating? Because I know that that's something, I mean, I know lots of boomer women are online because they're in our forums and on both of our sites. But some of the women in our forum community have actually met their husbands through online dating sites. So there are women in our generation definitely out there doing this. However, there are some who are still shy about it. So can you talk a little bit about what you should look for and how to be careful when entering these sites and giving information about yourself?
Yeah, I have information about this all through the book in every chapter, really. And I have one chapter on risky, on not taking risks, not taking chances. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds of online dating sites, some of them very specific, very specialized. They all work pretty much the same way, and you can browse through and find, I did this, and there were absolutely hundreds of men within, you set a distance from your home, 5 miles, 10 miles radius, And then you start asking for someone of a specific age group, a religion. You can check in all those things, you know, limit them to some extent. And then you can turn up the pages and you get 10 men to a page. You know, I did this one evening, just checking out one site, and it was hours and hours. I think there were about 300 or 400 men within this radius on this one site that came up.
Mm.
Now, that's all well and good, and lots of them seemed very interesting, and there were pictures, and they all seemed quite decent
mm-hmm.
appearance.
But what do you look for?
Beg your pardon?
What do you look for? Like, what? Well, you know, what would some red flags be? What is some information that you should not give on those sites? I mean, can you give any kind of direction there?
First, you shouldn't give your surname.
Okay.
Surname, and don't give your address. That would be a start. Don't let anybody know where you are until you know who they are.
Okay.
That would certainly be one thing. What I learned, and I did, and this applies to all the resources, that men and women too, I guess, are not necessarily truthful about who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly not truthful about their age. I found that the men particularly lied about their age, and they also lied about their height. I knew this when I met them. So remember that they too are anonymous, just as you're anonymous. You can say anything you like.
Mm-hmm.
They're not to know if you're telling the truth or not. So that's a problem. And until you actually meet someone, you don't really know if they're telling the truth. You should be wary about giving out personal information too soon.
Okay. And then, of course, the same things we tell our children, you know, when you finally meet someone face-to-face, do it in a public place and, you know.
Absolutely. Everything that you told your children applies to you now. And you are, in effect, sort of like a teenager. So I have a whole chapter on risks, and I call it Taking a Chance on Love. And people, when I told people that I was doing this research, advertising and personals and driving to dances and meeting people for coffee, and people said, oh, you're so dangerous, you're taking terrible chances. And, you know, and some of us become so immobilized by our fear of, you know, what lurks outside that we won't go out at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do live in a dangerous society, but the best thing to do is to identify what might put us in jeopardy and then decide what we can do to avoid or reduce those hazards.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's dangerous to leave the house and cross the street, you know, and how many people do we kill on the road every year? I mean, if we stop to think about it, we would be completely immobilized.
Right.
So be sensible. Don't give out too much personal information. When you go to meet somebody, make sure you've got, if you're going in your own car, make sure you've got enough money or enough gas in the tank to get home if you need to get away in a hurry. That rarely happens, by the way,
mm-hmm.
but just to be sure. I always recommend that people take a course in looking after themselves. Self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
I did, in fact, take a course in self-defense. I never had to use any of that I learned, even with meeting all these people in such a short space of time. But, yeah, it is a problem. You meet people and you have to just take care of yourself. You
mm-hmm.
have to make sure you've got your cell phone with you. Tell people where you're going when you're going to meet someone, you know, somebody who knows you, and what time you expect to be back. About the self-defense, you know, the phrase is don't be scared, be skilled.
Okay.
So take a course in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of readiness, you can compare it to putting theft prevention device on the steering wheel of your car, you know.
Right.
You know that the people could easily soar through that if they wanted your car, but they won't. They'll go to an easier vehicle, and if you have you show the confidence that you're able to take care of yourself, they won't start with you. They'll start with somebody easier.
Well, that's a great point. That's a good point. Now let's move on a little bit because we have about 15 or 20 more minutes. Let's say you have met someone and you're interested in dating and continuing to date them. Do you know any means of checking out, a way to kind of check people out? I know in our forum community, women have often said, you know, there are certain websites, and I wish I had gotten those websites for this call, but I didn't. But are there any books or anything about that where you can educate yourself on kind of
Absolutely.
Doing a little research on the men that you meet?
There are tons of resources for that.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yes. For instance, there's a book called Secrets of a Private Eye, or How to Be Your Own Private Investigator is one.
Okay.
There's one called When in Doubt, Check Him Out, A Woman's Survival Guide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called Get the Facts on Anyone. Facts are out there. It's rather horrifying. If you Google your own name on the web,
mm-hmm.
you'll be astonished how much people they know about you. You can find out such a lot about people quite easily. Private Records Online, Facts on Demand Press does that one. It's called Private Records Online. There's another one called Find Public Records Fast.
FindPublicRecordsFast.com?
Fast.
Okay.
Yeah. No. That's the title of a book.
Oh, it's a book. Okay, so these are all book titles.
None of these are websites.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay.
So once you get the books, you will undoubtedly get websites from them, but it's pretty easy to find out about people.
Okay, and you do recommend doing that. You recommend doing that.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah,
to do your research.
If you have those kinds of worries, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have met people who have paid enormous sums of money to dating, to matchmaking services, because those matchmaking services do that. They
mm-hmm.
find out, they know who their people are that they recommend. But you can do it yourself. You don't have to pay huge sums of money for that.
I guess it's similar to hiring a nanny
and
investigating who your nanny is. It's the same
that's
thing.
That's right.
Right.
That, I would imagine, is the same kind of thing. I haven't done that. So
right.
I've never had a nanny, so I don't know how you would do that. But I'm sure that you need to, by golly, with your precious children.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, in a way. So, I was kind of scouring around the internet and looking for some information to consider once you've met someone. And quite a bit of the information had to do with emotional stability. And within that, it was just interesting, some of the things that turned up. But they talked about making sure that this person that you're dating is emotionally stable, and that in many cases emotional intelligence is more important or equally as important as physical attraction. And fortunately, because we're more mature, and that's one of the things you addressed in the very beginning, we are better able to assess someone's emotional stability. And included in that stability, they talked about, you know, how often do they laugh? Do they seem guarded? If they drink, do they drink too much? What is their behavior once they're drinking?
Mm-hmm.
And just a lot about, their personality traits and that type of thing. And that is definitely to our advantage, being more mature and being able to better assess that than when we were young. Can you speak to that at all?
Yes, I think it's a very good idea if you're seeing somebody and you're really interested in him and thinking that this might be long-term, good idea to have him meet his family, have you meet his family. If they hedge about meeting their children or their brothers or sisters or parents, I would worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
That might mean that he's not as available as he has said he is.
Right, and that's a good point, and that would come in, you know, after you've been dating a while. And you mentioned another thing there that's really important is his children and or your children and how they feel about the relationship, because I've learned, again, a lot. I've learned a lot from reading the forums at BoomerWomenSpeak.com. But children can make or break some of these marriages.
They, yes, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people you're likely to meet in our age group have children, grown-up children, or certainly a college age. They can be very resentful. If dad's divorced, they may feel badly about that. They may have the dream that daddy's going to meet up again with mum and it's going to all work out, and they resent another woman coming in. That can happen. Even older children can be very resentful. I've met people in my book. I interviewed people whose relationship were destroyed by a grown-up child who was so resentful of her father dating that she made it very, very uncomfortable. And the woman thought she'd rather not bother with this. Thank you. There are plenty of good men in the on the beach.
Right.
Of pebbles on the beach.
Right. Well, that you might not have to, you might not have that same burden of the children. You know, and in addition to children, because I just read a lot about the step parenting and how tough that is to enter
That's
in.
Another whole story. If there are young children, this is certainly something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I did not come across, not quite true. I did meet one man who, not his own child, but his son's child.
Mm-hmm.
He was bringing up his son's child and wanted a woman who would accept that child. Most women, he said, would not.
Right.
And he's very upset about that. But that's tricky. If you like children and want to go through this all over again, that might be all right for you, but it might not.
Sure.
It's a good idea to know what the children are. There's also the whole question of finances.
Mm-hmm.
Some men and some women have amassed some money, have some resources, which the children may regard as theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And they may worry terribly when dad meets somebody nice that he's going to change his will or they're going to be cut out, and they can raise a lot of havoc in your life. So there are those things. That's why I think it's a good idea to meet the family.
Good idea. And then also one other thing before we see if we can take some questions is the whole issue of faith. Can you address that at all?
Of what?
Faith.
Oh, faith.
Faith practices.
Ooh. Well,
sure.
Almost always you will meet the people you will meet, you will have specified that requirement, that they be either of the same religion as you or no religion, if that's your preference, or to be secular. So I'm not quite sure what the question is that you're asking.
Well, I guess just the importance of the person that you're becoming involved with, of their faith. If your faith is important to you, you, of course, want to become involved with someone, more than likely, whose faith is also important to them.
Yes, I think so. And I think that comes up in the very early days when you specify what it is that you're looking for.
Okay. Yeah. And that's if you're going through, like, something online or some kind of matchmaker.
Yeah, and that's mostly how you're going to meet people.
Is that right? The majority of people who are meeting and dating at midlife are either
meeting online, or they're meeting through matchmakers, or they're meeting through personal advertisements, those kinds of things. Yeah, a lot of people meet that way. I actually met my husband, ultimately, through a personal ad in the New York Review of Books.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yes, and I was simply placed it just as I was coming to the end of doing the book, because I thought it was such a good resource that I tried again just to make sure I could recommend it. And I put the ad in again, got a few responses, didn't bother to, I was dated out by this time. I just wasn't interested in anything anymore, any men anymore. And you can overdo it, you know.
Right.
And I got a letter some weeks later from a woman. And she said, I saw your personal ad in the New York Review of Books, and I know this wonderful man. And he's a friend. It's just amazing how this happened. He's a friend of my husband's, and he's lonely, and he wouldn't do this for himself. And would you please... please give him a call. And she gave me his phone number. And she said she hadn't told him she was doing this, but she would as soon as the ad appeared. And he did sound rather nice, so I called him, and the rest is history.
How about that? And how long have you been married?
Oh, long time.
So long time. How about
the
that?
This book is a second edition, you know, so the resources are completely up to date.
Right.
So, right.
And we're talking about Monica Morris's book, Falling in Love Again, The Mature Woman's Guide to Finding Romantic Fulfillment. And Monica can be found online at monicabmorris.com. That's Monica, B as in boy, Morris.com. Okay, at this point, we're just going to see if anyone has any questions for Monica. I think it's been a pretty thorough call, but somebody might have a specific question. And if so, what you need to do at this time is push 6 so that we can hear you, and we'll take it from there. Does anybody have any questions?
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Georgia.
Oh, hi, Georgia. Do you want to introduce yourself better than that and tell us your web address?
Well, I'm Dotsie's right arm. She'll tell you that she does things, but I do everything normally. Just kidding. I'm known as Queen Jaw. And one thing I wanted to ask Monica about the dating services that you researched, do you have any kind in your book, maybe, any kind of a rating service of all the ones that, I'm talking about online, of the ones online that you investigated, do you have any kind of a rating of those? I mean, were there some that you found better than others?
It's not that I found better than others. It's the people that I interviewed mostly that
right.
I talked about these, although I did go online and experiment with it myself. You know, everything works for some people, and not everything works for everybody.
Right.
So that it's a bit of trial and error with these things, and you can spend a whole lot of time. It's very time-consuming, no matter what line you go on. People like eHarmony, they seem to work quite nicely.
Was there like a top 3?
No, okay. I couldn't rate them in that way.
Okay.
Thank you for the question, and I will think about that because that's a good question.
Okay, and you know what, Monica, I have a question. I'm curious to know, because I'm very clueless about this. What can someone expect to pay if they're using? I mean, do you pay for these online dating sites?
And they vary. They can vary from a few dollars to much more than a few dollars. And you buy a sort of time, a month or two's membership. You buy memberships. And it varies enormously.
Okay, so one site, it might be, you know, $50 for 2 months or something like that.
Something like that.
So basically you're paying to have your information on their site.
Yes. Now, you can go on without paying anything, as I did, just to check them out and see who's there and who they're offering. So that might be good.
Okay, and so some of them do have, like, free trial offers then?
Yes. You can't actually get in touch with any of the people, but you can see who is online. You put in your information, like where you want people to be within so many miles of your home, and what age range, and you know, a few things about you. They'll ask you what you want. What they'll ask you a number of questions, and you'll punch them in, and then they'll come up online. Those particular men within that age group.
But then, unless you join, you cannot correspond with them. Is that how it works?
Right.
Okay. Okay, and then my other question, actually Georgia's question about the best sites prompted these questions because I was thinking about women actually joining sites and if it costs. Another question is you talked about matchmakers. Now, can you tell me about that? Because I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Matchmaker is a different thing, and it's, oh boy, I've written a novel. My novel, That Ridiculous Blue Sky, deals with matchmaking, and it's a funny book.
Okay.
I had vast experience of matchmakers and found, for the most part, You do not pay for what you get. You pay a lot of money, and you're likely to meet the same people that you would have met through personal ads in the local newspaper. That was my experience. Now, I know there are some good ones, and I know that people have had some success. You pay a lot of money for, say, 6 introductions, and they are supposedly matched to you. They ask you a lot of questions. You meet with the people at the agency, and they match you with exactly what you presumably are looking for, which sounds wonderful. You can pay $30,000.
Oh, my gracious.
I know. That was what I didn't pay anything like that, but then I took the least expensive of the possibilities, I think. I can't remember what it cost, but I did have to bite the bullet and do that.
And about how much did it cost? We have to know about how much was...
I think it cost me about $8,000, something like that.
Okay, and they promise you, so they basically...
There were 6 people for that.
Mm-hmm.
And and they kept looking and looking for people. They promised that they had just huge numbers of men that I might like, and they showed me files, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. Well, it turned out there wasn't really much of an iceberg there.
Hmm.
And some of the men I met, I had met before through, I didn't meet them. I knew who they were. I know that one. Don't bother with that. So I found that not to be too successful, but it does work for some people.
That's interesting.
All
so
money.
Yeah, it's very expensive, and you pay whether you meet someone or not. Is that right?
No. You pay every time you meet one person, that's off your list of 6. So each person costs a couple thousand to meet. I mean, it's insane, actually, in my view, but there you are. I do have a bias, I must confess.
Right, but basically you get to meet them and you pay, but whether you like them or not, you still have to pay.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Once you arrange to meet, you can speak on the phone beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you arrange to meet and you meet, that's 1 down and 5 to go.
Oh, okay. Interesting. That's brand new to me. Okay.
It was to me, I thought. But it's the old matchmaker, you know. There used to be that there were matchmakers in the village, you know.
Right.
But it didn't used to cost quite that.
Right.
There were dowries, I think, but that was another story.
Sure. So there are people out there that are using matchmakers and websites and personal ads.
There was a very famous matchmaker in Los Angeles. She advertised extensively for very elegant advertisements, and then she disappeared under a cloud. So there's something that's a bit murky about that.
Interesting.
And I don't know whether people got their money back or what happened with that, but that was a few years ago. And recently, a woman in Los Angeles sued a company because they had not delivered, and she had paid $40,000, and they had not delivered what they promised. So that's to be very careful of that.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Does anybody else have any other questions? Because we're at the end of our time here. Okay, Monica, I think you did a wonderful job of giving us lots of great information. Do you have anything else you'd like to say before we end this call?
Yeah, I feel as though I've been talking nonstop for nearly an hour. And none of this really comes close to reading the book, where it's all set out very nicely, I think, and that would be the ideal way to gain this information.
Okay, good. So we highly...
I wish them love.
I'm sorry?
I wish them love.
Oh, good. Again, you can find Monica at monicabmorris.com. The title of her book is Falling in Love Again, The Mature Woman's Guide to Finding Romantic Fulfillment. And you can find...
It can be obtained on Amazon.com.
I'm sorry?
It can be easily obtained on Amazon.com or any bookstore.
Okay. And if it's not in your bookstore, the bookstore can order it. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. And then you can find me at www.boomerwomenspeak.com or nabbw.com for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. I just want to thank everyone for being on the call. And, Monica, thank you for being our guest. And
thank you, Dusty. It was fun.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I'll be in touch. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.